Welcome back, Lightning Within 5 listeners. I'm your host, Jennifer Jensen, alongside
Staff Sergeant Stefan Alvarez.
In today's episode, we will be interviewing the F-22 demo team pilot, Captain Larson. And later in the episode, we will be interviewing the 325th Ops Group Deputy Commander, Lieutenant Colonel Goldfein. And we will be talking all things air show. So stick around.
Let's welcome back Jen, because she just got back from a nice week-long vacation from the Caribbean. How was your cruise?
Yeah, I did. So, A, I realized I'm not a cruiser. Mm-hmm. And B, it was great.
What made you realize you weren't a cruise person?
So, if you get motion sickness, odds are you shouldn't go on a cruise ship. I get severe motion sickness. Even if I sit in the backseat of somebody's car, which is why I drive all the time everywhere we go, it is an unsettling feeling being on a ship for 6 days, because when you get off, you still feel like you're swaying with the ship. I hated it. I took Dramamine like it was Skittles or breath mints. Like, it was really bad.
So you did not go with the motion of the ocean?
I did not.
No. I feel like if you're motion sick prone, it should be like a prerequisite for signing up for stuff like that. Like, hey, if you're motion sickness, you probably shouldn't go on a cruise. Just like how they tell pregnant women they can't ride roller coasters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, if you're prone to motion sickness, maybe think about something else.
Yeah, 100%. But in their defense, every time the water would get kind of nauseating, the captain would get on the intercom and be like, if you're prone to motion sickness, you should probably take care of that right about now.
That was very courteous of him.
Yeah.
Last cruise I went on, there was none of that.
Yes. So. We left out of Fort Lauderdale, which was a hike. I didn't realize how far Fort Lauderdale is, mm-hmm. or how close it was to Miami. Holy cow. It was good when we stopped. We went to Jamaica, we went to Haiti, and we went to the Bahamas. So when we got off and did like excursions, I ziplined through a jungle. That was probably the most amazing thing I've done in a very long time.
That sounds cool.
We floated down a river in a tube, which was not awesome because the water was ice cold. I mean, why did I expect it to be tropical in February? I don't know. But everything else was pretty good. And I got to spend adult time. When you go on vacation with kids, it's not vacation. It's not. Mm-hmm. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much time. I love spending time with my kids. Don't get me wrong. But there is no part of vacation that's relaxing if you have kids. And you cannot convince me otherwise.
I feel like until they're old enough to go out and kind of do their own thing, then yeah, you're just still on parent, mom, or dad mode.
Yes.
Always worrying about the kids and what they're doing and what they're getting into.
Yep. You got to prepare for them. You got to make sure they're eating, that they're entertained, that they're going to sleep at a decent time and not all cracked out on sugar. I get anxiety easily, so I'm not the one to ask. Things happening around Tyndall. We have a building opening up, a new building. It was planned pre-Hurricane Michael, and it never came to fruition due to the hurricane. Everyone was worried about cleanup and getting things back to a functioning manner. But on February 26th, we are opening a clinic at our med group. I think it's exciting.
Anyway, it's a new space. It's a new clinic. I think it's going to replace the current clinics that are in those temp buildings next to the med group.
Yes. So the new building will house warrior medicine, medical management, education and training, and immunizations. So you can go get your shots that everyone looks forward to in a brand new building. Maybe that'll bring you some more comfort. But Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, happy Valentine's Day. It is February 14th.
Yes.
As of this podcast recording.
Yes. So what are you doing for your awesome, beautiful, amazing wife?
Luckily for me, she doesn't like Valentine's Day.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So your expectations are super low.
I mean, I already got her something earlier. Yeah, about a week ago, I got her something.
Oh, good job.
For Valentine's Day, it just showed up early. So I just ended up giving it to her, since she thinks Valentine's Day is another one of those like corporate holidays where it's just, you know, a thing.
100%.
A thing to get people to spend money.
100%. But I am that person that goes out and spends money.
Yeah, you're the target audience.
I love Valentine's Day. I know, like, everyone's going to be like, oh, you should love every day. Yeah, I get it. Mm-hmm. I freaking get it. I'm saying I like all the pink and the hearts and the flowers. I love all that stuff. You should see my office. People say it looks like Pepto-Bismol exploded in my office. Everything is pink. No, I love Valentine's Day, and I think it's, along with your anniversary and birthday, it's just another day that you can make your significant other or even your kids feel just a little extra special. Tell them how much you love them. Mm-hmm. So May 4th and 5th is our air show. Leading up to that, we are going to be terribly busy. But immediately after the air show, we have 2 straight weeks of Checkered Flag. And our sources have informed us that this will be the largest Checkered Flag as of yet. Although we are excited, it makes us really tired to think about it.
I feel like they keep getting bigger and bigger. Because I swear, I've been here 5 years. And I know for at least 2 other Checkered Flags, they have been the biggest ever. And now this one's going to be the biggest ever. So it's just like, how much more can we cram on the flight line?
Yeah. We only have so much space.
Yeah.
Especially with all the construction, like, where are they going to put all these things? Like,
I mean, I'm not complaining. Like, I live for the jets and stuff. It's my favorite thing.
It's great to watch. Don't get me wrong. Like, we love taking photos of everything and we love covering everything. But if it keeps getting bigger and bigger, I'm concerned.
Like, when is that balloon going to pop?
Yeah. My favorite call. So people will call public affairs with their concerns or something that they see during the flight, and we are here for it. We love hearing from the public, and we want to be your ear to listen to concerns. And last exercise, we didn't have just one. We had 2 calls saying that a jet crashed. False. It was false information. I just want everyone listening to understand that we have drones and they're further out. And when they go to land, they shoot out a parachute. So the callers thought that the parachute from the jet or the drone, I'm sorry. So the listeners thought that the parachute that came out of the drone was a pilot's parachute.
Oh, after he ejected?
Yes. Mm. So we got 2 calls like that, very concerned. And we love the concern, like, for our well-being. But we ensure you that if, knock on wood, that ever happens, we don't want it to happen, we take all the necessary precautions, we will definitely be the first to know. So if we tell you, no, there was no plane crash, please just believe us. We know what we're talking about. So one lady fought me and she was like, no, I saw it with my own eyes. I was like, no, you didn't. You didn't.
Yeah. And it gets, you know, obviously confusing because we have the subscale drones, which are basically little rockets with wings on it, basically, that the jets can shoot at. But we also have the QF-16s, which are full-size F-16s that are, you know, nearing the end of their service life, that are specifically modified to be flown manned or unmanned, that can also be shot down in some cases.
Yep.
Intentionally, obviously. So I can see where there would be confusion.
But yeah.
Yeah, it's not, we promise you, if a jet at Tyndall went down, unless it lands in your backyard or something, like, we're going to be the first.
Yeah, 100%. One of the exciting things coming up is the CE Readiness Challenge. Do you even know what that is, Alvarez?
From what I've heard, it's just the Super Bowl for CE, where, like, they send teams of their from CE units, civil engineering units all around the Air Force, and I'm pretty sure other countries and services.
Yeah. Yep.
And they send their best people to come and get put through the gauntlet.
Yeah. So I got to go and cover it last year, and I was so, I felt very privileged because we sit behind either a microphone or a desk all day. These guys are out there digging trenches and, like, blowing up water bladders and things, building a helicopter pad. What? I didn't know Air Force would do that. I mean, it makes sense.
It comes from somewhere.
Yeah, it makes sense. But these guys, for lack of a better term, showed how badass they are. And I think CE is very underrated because they do a lot of things that we don't necessarily know that they do. Like heavy construction equipment was there. They were like having a competition of who could do a certain task easier with like backhoes and bulldozers. And I was just flabbergasted. Oh, they had EOD out there because EOD belongs to CE. So that they had to, they planted fake mines and the EOD guys had to efficiently find the fake mines, and whoever did it fastest the proper way won. Which I was like, oh my gosh, I hope they're not doing it that fast, which I know they're not, but that was crazy because then their partner would have to quick dig a hole, and if it was wrong, like they were considered like blown up or something. It was nuts. And they got tear gassed, and they, during the tear gas, they had to keep building. It was nuts. It's, yeah. It's so cool, though. Like, there was a whole audience of people watching this event. And I think that is fantastic that this challenge is done. They just restarted it because of the hurricane. Silver Flag stopped doing it, obviously, because we didn't have the facilities to house these people. But they just restarted it. This year is number 10, which is a big deal. There's big, fancy people coming for it. And I'm very excited.
Wonder if they're going to start using Roman numerals like the NFL.
They did. No, they did. They did. It's X. CE already knows
awesome.
X.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm all for it.
I am so excited. I want to just go shoot all the competition events. It's so much fun. That's probably my favorite thing that I've done so far from being here. I love the Jets, but I love watching the CE guys get down and dirty. That's great pictures.
Yeah, I think people definitely underestimate how big civil engineering squadrons are. Because they're almost like a mission support group where they have just like a bunch of squadrons underneath them.
Yeah.
Like CE, most people think, you know, HVAC.
Right.
Like electrical, like all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
But no, like they have legit, like EODs under them.
Fire.
Firefighters are under them. All the construction, like you said, all the heavy equipment.
Yep. Dirt boys, is that what we call them? Yes. Dirt boys. Red Horse is technically,
It's CE, yeah.
It's a bunch of CE guys in a special squadron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like there are many, many, many layers to a CE squadron.
So if you are CE and listening to this, just know that PA.
We see you.
We see you.
And we appreciate you.
Yes, deeply appreciate you. Because without you, I could not sit at my desk in air conditioning.
You wouldn't have air conditioning. Yeah. Or a building with a desk in it.
This is true.
This episode of Lightning Within 5 is brought to you by the 325th Fighter Wing Public Affairs Shop. For all the latest news, photos, videos, and more, check out our Facebook page, Instagram, and our official website at tyndall.af.mil.
Welcome back, Lightning Within 5 listeners. Today, our special guest is Captain Samuel Larson, and he is an F-22 demo team pilot. Hello, Captain Larson. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Really, really excited to be here and excited to be coming back to Tyndall for the air show this May.
Yes, we're excited for you to come here. So where are you right now?
So I'm at Joint Base Langley Eustis. That's where we're based out of, so out of the 1st Fighter Wing. And so the demo team, we use jets predominantly out of Langley, but we borrow jets from any F-22 base to go out and do air shows. So our folks are stationed here, but we use F-22s wherever we can get them. So
I did not know that. I just thought you had like this fleet of elite F-22s that you traveled around with, and you're just borrowing things from everybody. That's cool.
That's right. Yep. So for a long time, we were borrowing jets from Eglin or from Tyndall. We would just show up, figure out which aircraft we're taking on a Thursday morning, fly to the air show, do the show over the weekend, and then we would come back on Monday, and those jets would go right back into the rotation. Because we don't modify anything, we just take the normal F-22s, do the show, and bring them back, hopefully in better condition than when we found them. So
That might hurt a couple feelings here, because a lot of people miss the F-22s. But now you have all of our F-22s, so you're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, we appreciate it. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
So how long have you been a pilot?
So I graduated pilot training in 2017. I went to the F-22 basic course at Tyndall in 2017 and graduated out of Tyndall in 2018. And I've been flying Raptors ever since.
Nice. So this is your passion. Like, you love to do this.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. It was my dream job ever since I was a little kid. And aww. So very, very fortunate to get to live out that dream right now.
That's amazing. I love the people that have like been dreaming about it since they were little. Because when I was little, I wanted to be a singer like Mariah Carey or something. Yep. Clearly that didn't happen. Yeah. But I'm glad that there are people out there that live out their lifelong dreams. Okay. So what does it take to actually get onto the demo team? Like, do you have to do, you know, like Top Gun maneuvers in the air, or like what qualifications do you need?
That's a great question. So you have to be an instructor pilot in the F-22 in order to apply for the demo position. And so that typically takes about 3 to 4 years after you graduate the F-22 basic course. You're going through upgrades throughout those years to become a 2-ship flight lead, a 4-ship flight lead, and eventually an instructor. And by that point, you've got a lot of experience in the airplane. Your decision-making ability and skills have been vetted and evaluated quite a bit up to that point. So that's really the only qualification. And then from there, every instructor pilot is able to apply if they'd like for the demo job. And then you just go through a lot of interviews, a lot of the standard Air Force paperwork and the application. There's not really any flying associated with the tryout, if you will, because again, they've already vetted that you can do the job. Right. And the maneuvers we do in the demo, we need special qualifications to do them as low as we do. And so that's really the only difference, but they're really derived from basic maneuvers we do in dogfighting, things of that sort. So any instructor pilot could do them. So it's more about finding the personality.
In front of the camera.
Yeah. Being able to speak to it. And then we're kind of unique as well in these ACC demo teams. I'm the only officer on the team with a 14-person team of a variety of different specialties and career fields. And so being the right person too to work with that team, and it's pretty awesome because we get to go out all over the country and all over the world to showcase this aircraft, and we're a very close-knit team.
Clarification, so you're the only officer, so the other pilots that fly with you are not officers?
Yeah, so for the 2-year span that I'm the demo pilot, I'm the only person who gets to fly the demo. They only qualify one person for that 2-year span. So the other aircraft we'll be bringing with us, he or she is acting as the safety observer. So they fly the spare. We bring a spare jet everywhere we go. And then they're on radio comms with me throughout the entire demonstration as an extra layer of safety.
Yep. I had no idea.
I didn't either.
That's really cool.
So it's just one jet during the air show flying.
So you are the guy. You are the F-22 guy.
Just for 2 years. And then someone
that's
else
so cool.
And it'll be someone else. So
you totally have bragging rights, though, for those 2 years. Like, oh, the demo team, that's me.
Yep, it's been a great job. Best job I ever had. Yep.
Aw. Okay, so what's your favorite part, like, while you're doing these demos? Like, do you get an adrenaline rush when you go to the air shows?
I do. Every show is different, but they've all been great. And absolutely get an adrenaline rush flying the demo. It is extremely fun. It's challenging. It's very aggressive. So I really enjoy the flying, but the best part by far is the interaction we've been able to have with folks. And it's really meaningful to me, and it's really meaningful to our entire team. Because at one point we were the kids at the fence at those air shows trying to talk to pilots and maintainers and trying to get advice for how we could be, how we could reach our goals and dreams someday. So now that we get the chance to pay that forward, that has been extremely rewarding, and by far the most fun part of our job is the interaction we get to have with the crowds.
Yeah, for sure. You're like a celebrity at air shows, right? Like, they want your autograph, yeah. And how do you do this? You know, like, you're a hero flying in the air like that, you know? That's so cool.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and again, it's we take it seriously as we're representing all of Raptor Nation and the Air Force as a whole, and again, that's been a lot of fun for us and very rewarding for everyone on our team that we get to act in that capacity. Again, just for a short time, it's a fleeting moment for everyone on the team. And then we'll be back on the line doing the normal job. But for this 2 year span, it has been a lot of fun getting to be a part of those interactions.
Yeah. So what's your favorite place or like big event that you've participated in?
that's tough. Again, we don't get to build our schedule. Air Combat Command Aerial Events Office makes our schedule every year, so we don't really pick where we go. And so you kind of go in not knowing what to expect, and turns out there's been just great experiences everywhere we've gone. Even the smaller shows, all throughout the country, you meet so many wonderful Americans at every event. They've been great. I think everyone on our team could identify a couple of their favorites for different reasons. For me, it's really hard to say. I'd say I love air shows, and any weekend we're at an air show, I'm happy. Any weekend we're not at one, I'm wishing we were at one. So
yeah. So you haven't done like the Super Bowl, like the Thunderbirds just did, or what's another big event like NASCAR? Like, what are some of the higher ticket events that you've flown in?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I have not done the Super Bowl. The F-22 demo team did the Super Bowl 2 years ago, a heritage flight flyover when it was in Los Angeles, but we did not do it while I've been on the team. We don't do a lot of flybys. We tend to allow or forward those requests to other F-22 units to do flybys just because we're so busy with air shows. But we have done we've done some larger events. We got to be a part of Oshkosh, which is the largest air show, some would say, in the world.
Yeah.
But we got to do that, and we're doing that event again this year. We did Huntington Beach, California, and Fort Lauderdale. Both of those had about 2 to 3 million spectators each
The show.
Yeah. And then we've enjoyed getting to be at we've gone to a lot of different Air Force Base open houses and civilian air shows. And yeah, they've all been a blast.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I've been to the Fort Lauderdale air show before. I grew up in South Florida, and that one is a huge one.
It's intense.
Yeah. Yeah, that was an awesome event. Yeah, Fort Lauderdale was great.
The coolest one that I've been to was the, and I don't know if they still call it, the Royal Air Show Tattoo. That was such a cool experience. I mean, like, that was every country you can imagine there. It was so cool.
Yeah, that was a massive show. We actually tried to get out there last year. It's tough because we don't have F-22 stationed in Europe for us to get over there, but we would love to be a part of that. So
yeah, I would love for an F-22 or one of our F-35s. Please send me so I can go.
Yeah, no kidding. Yep.
Okay, so have you been on any other demo teams?
No, just the F-22 demo team. Yeah,
you're a diehard Raptor.
Yep, Raptor the entire career. I do love this jet. And yeah, I did a full tour in Alaska and another tour here at Langley in the combat squadrons prior to getting hired for this. So I've just been a line pilot prior to being on the demo team.
Yeah. Nice. So with being on the demo team, you travel a lot, correct?
We do. Yep. I'd say last year we were on the road just shy of 300 days out of the year.
Holy cow.
We did about 32 events total last year, which was the most the F-22 demo team's ever done in history. So it was busy.
Yeah.
And again, we loved it.
So, oh my gosh.
Do have a lot of folks on the team who are married, have kids, all that, and they find a way to make it work despite being busy. And there's opportunities to bring families out to shows with us, so they get to experience it as well. So it's been a lot of fun.
Oh, good. That's cool. So do you invite like your parents or siblings to come see you?
Yep. Cool. Yep.
That's a proud parent moment. Like, oh, that's my son doing all those cool things in the air. That's awesome.
It's been fun. You know, they used to take me to air shows when I was a youngster. I'd be begging to go to all the air shows near my hometown, and they would drive me around to them. So yeah, it's full circle for them as
Aww,
well.
That's so cute. It's like a fairy tale that came true. So let's talk about our air show. We're very excited. Yeah. This is the first air show for Tyndall since the hurricane. I'm sure you know that. But this year it's going to be different because we're actually partnering with Panama City Beach to put it on. It won't be at Tyndall. It'll actually be on the beach, which is, for us, it's weird, right? Like, we're used to locking down base and having people, hundreds, thousands of people on our flight line. But this year is on the beach. And I don't know if you know, it's also at the same time as Thunder Beach.
That's what I heard. Yep.
Yeah. So it's going to be a lot of people.
Yeah, it'll be a busy weekend in T3B for sure.
Yes. Yeah. Are you excited to come back to Tyndall?
I'm thrilled. Absolutely. Yeah. Loved my time at Tyndall. Always was hoping to come back pre-hurricane. It was always my plan to somehow come back and fly F-22s at Tyndall again. Obviously, that's not in the cards anymore.
Squashed your dream. I'm sorry.
But getting to come back in this capacity is great. And been to Tyndall, obviously, a number of times out of the squadrons for exercises that are still held there. The West Up checkered flags, all those events. So I'm thrilled. A lot of our team, obviously, has roots through Tyndall as well. They did their training there. So, yeah, we're thrilled to come back, and it's neat that it's going to be a unique event this year over the water.
Yeah.
Again, we're excited for that. I think it'll be great flying over Panama City Beach.
Yeah, we're really excited to get our photographers up with somebody, or not up with somebody, but on the ground taking photos with that, you know, emerald crystal clear blue water in the background. That's going to be some awesome photos.
That'll be great. For the air show, again, we're thrilled for the demo itself. If you've never seen an F-22 demo, a lot of folks in that area probably have seen Raptors flying around, but you don't really get to see what it's capable of when you're just seeing takeoff landing. So we'll get to ring the jet out a little bit and show you some of the capabilities and do maneuvers that no other combat capable aircraft can do. We'll be backflipping the jet, cartwheeling it. We'll do control flat spin. We'll do a tail slide. So actually slide the jet backwards. And these are all done under complete control because the Raptor has a very, very capable flight control system as well as very capable engine. So it's a unique demo. And being that it's over the water, we're hoping to use flares during our demo as well. So you see the Raptor out flares while we're doing all those moves. So we're really excited for that. And then the rest of the air show lineup looks phenomenal. So I think it's going to be a really great event. And hope a lot of folks who are either stationed at Tyndall or live in the surrounding area will be out at the beach that weekend.
I think everybody is going to be there. I think it's going to be packed.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thank goodness we have a hotel room on the beach and we don't have to drive down there.
Yep.
Yeah. What's your favorite trick to perform?
That's a good one.
That's a tough one. We do a pass called the dedication pass. We dedicate it to all fallen service members and their families. So that one's definitely the most meaningful, and it's a high speed pass, which would be right down the beach line. So it's fun to fly, but we also really, we really appreciate the maneuver and the meaning behind it. And then one of the maneuvers that we do that's fun to fly, it's called a power loop. Again, it's basically backflipping the jet using the thrust vectoring that the Raptor has in a single point in the sky. And it's a pretty wild maneuver in the cockpit. And so I enjoy flying that one a lot as well.
Oh my God. I just hear all these things and I am instantly motion sick. Have you ever gotten sick while you've been flying?
No, never gotten sick. Except for when I first started out pilot training.
Yeah.
And I'd say that's very common. Even if you have some prior flight time, when you start flying high performance aircraft, the first couple times, there's some sickness to get over, and pretty much everyone goes through that. Yeah. And it's pretty amazing your ability to adapt to that and get over it.
Oh my gosh.
It's the same thing with like G-forces and all that. It's just something you have to get used to.
Yeah.
Very uncomfortable, but you get used to it, and then it's fun after that.
But you guys also go through like rigorous training year round to keep that, you know, part of how you fly, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, yeah, anytime you have a long pause, you have to kind of work your way back into it. But when you're flying a lot, training a lot, then, yeah, good to go with all those.
So if you took like a month of leave, you'd have to come back and be sick again? Or do you think you would still be okay?
I think sickness would be fine. Never had any issues with that. I haven't really heard of folks. Like, once you get over that initial hurdle right at the start of pilot training, you're pretty much good.
Gotcha.
G-forces, you have to kind of work up your tolerance again if you take a really long gap. So, but again, train for it. And we obviously wear the equipment to help us out with that. And just work your way back up.
And for the listeners that don't really grasp the concept of G-force, like, what does that feel like?
It's anytime we are doing some high acceleration turns, whether it's high speed, low speed, aggressively maneuvering the jet, we're subject to greater than one G. So sitting here right now, we're all under one G. In the demo, we get up to 9.5, 10 Gs, which is basically take your body weight times a 9.5, 10, and that's the force that's basically applied to your body. So,
oh my gosh,
a lot of people say it's like having an elephant sit on top of you.
Yeah.
Again, when you first do that, or the first couple times you do that, it's eye opening, and it's something you have to get used to. With how much we train, it's just become second nature. And we do an anti-G training maneuver, which is basically tightening up all the muscles below the heart to try to force blood back up to the brain, which is how we stay conscious during that. And again, that becomes second nature after doing it for so long.
That's so crazy. I learned so much from talking to all these different career fields. Like, there's so much that goes into just one job, and the training that you have to go through for pilots specifically is nuts.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yep. That's, but it was all a lot of fun getting to do that training. And again, did a lot of that training at Tyndall. So a lot of fun doing it there.
Well, Captain Larson, it has been so great talking to you and learning more about what goes into the demo team. And we're so excited to host you here for our Gulf Coast Salute. And for all you F-22 lovers, make sure you check him out. I know we missed the F-22s, but he'll be here for at least 2 days, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. And yeah, we're looking forward to coming back to Tyndall in May. Should be a great show.
All right, sir. We'll let you go. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Welcome back, Lightning Within 5 listeners. We are here today with our special guest, Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Goldfein. He is the Deputy Commander of our 325th Ops Group. Welcome, Colonel Goldfein. How are you today?
Doing well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yes, we're very excited. This episode is Air Show Everything. We know that downtown and the surrounding areas and even air show enthusiasts are really excited about this. We've gotten a lot of hype because it's the first since Hurricane Michael for us. So let's just dive into all things air show. So tell us what they should expect.
Yeah, you can expect an amazing show. Like you said, first time in a long time that we've had a Tyndall show. And really, it's a Panama City Beach Tyndall joint effort. And I think we're going to have the best of both worlds in a really, really cool show. So get to head out, sit on the beach, enjoy the sun and the waves, and watch a bunch of really cool airplanes. And then together, we're going to make it great by incorporating those military civilian acts. And as far as we can tell so far, it's going to be a knockout show.
Awesome. I'm so excited. I mean, I'm excited because we have to work it, but I'm also excited to see it because I haven't seen one in a very long time. And we have some pretty awesome performers coming. What are some of the top performers?
Yeah, we sure do. So obviously the star of the shows will be the Thunderbirds. So they'll be the last act of the day right around 3 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. But we've got some other killer demos too. The F-22 demonstration team will have some F-35Bs hovering out there, which is pretty cool. And then from the civilian side, a ton too. We've got MiG-17, T-33, 4 T-28s, mini jet, a couple of extras doing performance from some award-winning and relatively legendary pilots, Mike Gulian and Patty Wagstaff, and a couple others too, including possibly some special operations demos we're working through, the Navy LCACs, which are just the giant hovercrafts that can scream along the beach, up onto the shore and on the water as well. So a really cool list.
It sounds so intense.
It does.
And if you're not really keen on like the aerial part of it, there's so much more, right? There's so many vendors and we're gonna have recruiters out there, and tanks. And can you tell us a little bit more about the ground stuff?
Yeah, exactly. There will be a lot to do for sure. So yeah, expect some traffic. It's going to be busy, but there is going to be cool stuff. Yes. Yeah, so all across the base, booster clubs and other units will be selling all kinds of neat swag and stuff. So go check them out. Yep. Recruiting and other local venues and things. And then, yep, working with the Army and others to hopefully have some Bradley fighting vehicles, last I checked, and awesome, some other hardware too as well. So yes, that's going to be fun. Walk around, enjoy the local businesses. That Pier Park area is great. So there's going to be a ton to do.
Yes. And last episode, we were talking about how it's going to be a little more crowded because it's also Thunder Beach. I am excited to see how those dynamics work in hand. Yep. Like a bunch of bikers with a bunch of aerial enthusiasts. I don't know how that's going to work out, but
and just a lot of good Americans. It is going to be a ton of fun. I have been assured by the Panama City Beach folks they can handle it. They love hosting these events. So much so, we haven't had an air show, and they're already talking about next year because they think this is just the coolest thing ever, and they really want to be a part of it.
And it's nice because we don't have a base, right? I mean, we have a base, but we can't bring people on because of all the construction.
You're right. The logistics are just tough. We would love to have a traditional open house here, but just the parking, the ramp, the construction, and all the things, it's really tough. Maybe in a couple years, but in the near term, this is a neat solution with our local friends here in the community.
Yeah. Are you excited, Alvarez?
I am. My last air show I saw was probably when I was in my early teens, the Fort Lauderdale Beach.
So it's like been a minute for you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Last time I was on an air show, I was a wee baby airman. So like we're talking decades now. But okay, cool. What else do you think people should know about this air show? Like, is there anything in it that makes it unique or special, or what are your thoughts? As a previous Thunderbird, I didn't want to say X because I didn't know if it was like the Marines, you know, and you get offended. I'm not an X. I'm always a Thunderbird.
Yeah, once a Thunderbird, always a Thunderbird, yeah. They say. Oh, I'm excited for it because these are shows like this on the beach are awesome. And the Thunderbirds, we really don't do a lot. That's kind of usually Blue Angels territory, but everybody loves a good beach show. And yeah, this one is going to be super cool. The area could not be better. The giant pier that marks right where the center of the show is, and everything should be incredibly visible. And, you know, what better way? Usually you're sitting on a hot flight line trying to hide under jets for some shade. Instead, it's like you can be on the beach under an umbrella and just enjoying the show. So I think it's going to be really, really fun.
Yeah.
Other highlights, it's free, of course. Free, everything. No parking, no admission, nothing. Like I said, traffic will be a thing. It'll be busy. You may want to stake your spot on the beach early in the day just to get a good spot. But it's going to be awesome. Other opportunities too for the base personnel. We are going to have some opportunities to meet the Thunderbird pilots as well. So that'll be unique. Hopefully on Friday after the practice day, right around 4 o'clock, if you want to grab the kids from school, pop over to the flight line and we'll have an opportunity to meet the pilots. Since they will be flying here and the show's at the beach, those interactions will be somewhat limited.
And when they go to meet these pilots, they're interacting and they get to go up to the jets and actually like touch the jets, or are they actually going up to the jets and able to take pictures? Like, what all does that entail?
Yeah, it should be all the above. For the most part, we'll probably pull the pilots over and just set up a nice autograph line. They've got cool books and pamphlets that they hand out with all the Thunderbird information, and they'll sign by their pictures in the book. And we should have some opportunities to go out and take some photos and whatnot too. If they're here on our ramp, we're going to just have some fun with it as well.
Fantastic. We interviewed a captain from the F-22 demo team, Captain Larson, and we were asking him like how long he was a pilot, and he said he wanted to be a pilot ever since he was tiny. And we thought that was the coolest story. Like, when did you realize you wanted to be a pilot?
I think it was probably sitting around Thanksgiving, Christmas, something like that, and listening to my grandpa, who's 30-year Air Force pilot, and my dad and both of my uncles. So all three of his kids were all Air Force fighter pilots at the same time, and sitting around and listening to them bicker about which planes are better and the cool trips they'd been on. It kind of cemented how neat the lifestyle was, how cool an opportunity it was. So yeah, I was pretty young when I decided I wanted to be a pilot. Not just a pilot, I've always wanted to be a fighter pilot. So I've been very fortunate along the way.
That is so cool. So all of them are fighter pilots?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, grandpa flew F-4s, RF-4s, and a whole lot of jets in between, but he was an older generation kind of guy. And then mostly F-15s and F-16s across the rest of my family, with some other odds and ends, F-117s here and there too.
And now you're flying the 35.
I
Does
am.
That hurt?
Well, the fun part is I've flown them all and flew F-15s and F-16s and now F-35s. So
what's your favorite?
Oh, they're all awesome. Everything's got its advantages. Flying Thunderbird F-16s down low and fast is incredible. The Eagle can get high. It's got a powerful radar and was a really cool air-to-air machine. The F-35 is a neat middle ground of everything, and the survivability and capabilities of the jet are unreal. The electronics are super cool.
So do you guys learn how to fly the B version or no?
We do not, unfortunately. Okay. Nope, we're just F-35A guys, and that's pretty much it.
Right.
There's opportunities for certain exchanges with other services, but nah, unfortunately, I don't know how to fly that thing.
I think that's so cool how they do that. Not saying that the Navy and the Marines are cooler than us, but...
They're just going to do some cool stuff.
It is a unique capability for sure.
So let's speak on your Thunderbird experience. What was that like? We were talking to Captain Larson about the F-22, and we were under the assumption like you have to do like a tryout, like an aerial tryout to show off your skills, but he clarified that's not necessarily the case. So since the Thunderbirds are like our elite team... Is there anything different that you have to do from a demo team?
Yeah, well, you mentioned some of the recruiting and kind of how you join the team. And it's true, over the years, they have done some flying kind of tryouts, but it's kind of faded away. And it's really more about the personality and kind of the drive to do it. And then we do have baseline requirements, like you need so much flight time and experience in fighter jets, and then we'll bring you in. And the process is pretty involved. It's usually 2 full weekends with the team, learning and meeting and getting a feel for it, making sure it's right for you. And then also seeing how well you mesh with that lifestyle and everything else. Because at the end of the day, 35-ish shows a year, 2 years straight, gone 200 plus days a year. Yeah, the team really becomes your family. And if you don't get along, things don't really work out well.
That's true. I never thought of that. Like, what if you don't get along with your team? That would not be good. That's crazy. And that's, I don't think people understand that you guys are always on the road and... That does take you away from your families, but you also have such a deep passion for it. That's why you're doing it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's busy. It's really, really busy. You leave on a Thursday, get home on a Monday, get one day off usually because there's a practice on the Tuesday, and you just go, go, go. And that's usually kind of the end of February all the way through the first week or so of November. And then you don't really stop because now it's like, okay, next season, new pilots, let's start training again because we got to get ready again by the end of February. And that goes really really, really fast.
That's intense.
But it is super fun. And the mission's really cool. And once you get in that rhythm and that groove and talking to people and engaging and just seeing how, I don't know, just amazing, like what you do and the reactions that people have to it. And it's hard to tell if you're recruiting really well or not, but some of those little kid stories are awesome because, you know, it's surprising how often somebody goes, you know, why'd you join the military? And they're like, you know, a long time ago, I saw a show or saw something and it really... Just there was a spark and I knew that that was something I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So when you really go into it just to have fun and do that and inspire people, I mean, coolest job I've ever had.
It sounds like you miss it.
I do. Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
So is that the same assignment time? What did Captain Larson say? Like
2 years.
2 years?
Yeah, typically. Same. There's a few exceptions and stuff. And usually the enlisted on the team usually do 3, sometimes 4 years. Guys will extend a bit there. The officers usually do 2 with a few exceptions. The advanced pilot narrator will spend a year narrating and then he will do 2 more full years. So that's kind of a 3-year gig as well. So a few exceptions here and there, but I can say 2 full years for me was plenty. I was pretty fried by the end of it though.
Yeah,
like I said,
I can
it was,
imagine.
It's kind of an adrenaline high for 2 straight years and then
that's
you gotta,
nuts.
Come
do
off
you
of
get
that.
Off the plane and you're like, oh, I feel weird just standing on ground. You know, like you're so sometimes. Used to being in the plane.
Sometimes. We flew 6 days a week, usually 7 flights. So we spent a lot of times in the airplane.
That's insane. And how many flights do you guys do when you're like home station and just like doing your constant training? Is it 1 a week?
Well, usually when we start that training season, you're flying usually once a day, 5 days a week. And then as we get the team kind of comes together and the easier training happens and we start putting the whole show together, it's twice a day, 5 days a week.
Oh my gosh.
So you just hit those sorties hard, but that's what it takes.
Yeah, that's crazy.
What's your favorite place that you performed at as a Thunderbird?
Oh, that's a good question. We've done a lot of really cool shows. A lot of the beach shows are great. Did some Fort Lauderdale's that were fun. Traverse City, Michigan was a star one. They have a cherry festival up there. And being up near the Great Lakes in the summertime was just out of this world. So we've done some. They're all fun, though. That's the cool part. Even the little quiet base air shows and here and there spots are awesome. They're always fun.
That was so random. Michigan? I was expecting, like... Super Bowl or
Michigan throws good air shows. We did one in Battle Creek as well, and they do a big balloon festival in conjunction with that.
Oh, that's cool.
Michigan throws some killer air shows.
Okay.
I can imagine the scenery too, like when you're up on the jet is
out
of this world.
Oh yeah.
So green and with the Great Lakes, yeah, I bet that's awesome. So when you're up and performing during a show, what is your favorite trick or part of the show?
That's a good question. So my job, I was Thunderbird number 3, the right wing pilot. So for the perspective, the commander's out in front and I was on his right wing, just 3 to 6 feet away, doing all those maneuvers, loops, rolls, all that. Favorite maneuver? We did a couple really cool ones where there was a line break loop in particular where we pushed the jets out and we were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the jets all in a line tight together. And then as we went over the maneuver, we kind of reformed that formation. That was a good one because it was a very unusual maneuver. It was very hard to fly and kind of technically challenging. Another one was where we flew directly underneath each other's aircraft and we would subsequently change the formations as well. And that was a hard position to fly because we would physically tuck forward and under the aircraft. And again, 3 or so, 5, maybe 6 feet at most away from the belly of the jet straight to that glass canopy above you.
Oh my God.
And it can be more than uncomfortable as you learn it because anytime that jet bobbles your direction, you gotta, kind of make sure everything is stable and good. And we would do that through rolls and loops and then also adjust those formations throughout too to get back under the wing and stuff. So,
oh my God, I did not realize they were that close.
We're pretty close.
Yeah, I've seen the GoPro.
That gives me anxiety.
GoPro footage that they use sometimes on the Thunderbirds and like, yeah, the wingtips are like, they're so close. Like you could, it looks like your ruler would bridge the gap.
I was always under the assumption that they're just like really far away, so it just looks smaller, but it actually is that small.
It's pretty close.
That's crazy. Have you ever just like gently tapped each other?
Luckily, no. No, we keep away from that for
okay,
sure.
It can get pretty
dangerous. I don't think that'd be a very good thing.
No.
I think it's happened over the years for demo teams and stuff, but we've got a pretty good track record. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you guys are the best of the best, right? So cool.
How was the learning curve coming from 16s to 35s?
It's interesting. It's fun. I went from F-15s to 16s, back to 15s, and now F-35s. And I don't know, all the experiences are really relative, but at the same time, it's a new jet and stealthy and everything else, and it changes all the rules. But F-35 is incredibly fun to fly and easy to fly. It's got really, really nice controls to hold speed and altitude and stuff, and it's just it's mechanically very easy to fly, which was good. The hard part is then figuring out how to run all these profiles to, again, be sneaky and maximize your tactics. So I've had a lot to learn.
Colonel Watkins? He said it wasn't a terrible transition. It was just tricking your brain because your muscle memory was so used to the other jets.
Mm-hmm.
So making sure you're pushing the right button that was in the old place.
Yes.
That was the most important thing.
That is hard. The F-35 has a ton of switches really on your hands and stuff. Everything else is glass in front of you, so it's a lot of touch screens, but the physical controls for your left and right hand, yeah, there's switches everywhere, and that is still, sometimes I find myself fumbling around for the right one.
Yeah, that's crazy. But you're not like fumbling and like, oops, I shot a missile.
Nah, luckily those are pretty straightforward, and they didn't change those. Those
okay.
are exactly the same
that's
spot.
That's good. That's good to know.
So the practice day, well, we'll start having jets show up here on really the 1st of May through the 2nd of May. The 3rd is a full practice day. That'll be that Friday with hopefully the Thunderbirds on the ramp that we can interact with as well. And if you happen to find yourself on the beach, great day to watch the show. It may not be quite as full up with the narration and other stuff, but it'll be a complete practice day. So the show itself, though, is going to be Saturday and Sunday, 4 and 5 May. That's where you want to be there.
I would also assume on those practice days or even the day of the air show, you don't necessarily have to be at PCB to see it.
Mm-mm,
you
nope.
could be at Shell Island. You could, be down the road from Pier Park. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to be able to see that.
Absolutely. And heck, if you've got a boat, there will be an area we got to keep you out of so we can actually fly the jets for the show. But you can actually be out in the Gulf watching as well, which is a pretty cool opportunity. I think they're going to transmit it over an FM frequency as well, so you can listen in too while sitting in your boat. I think that's a killer way to do it if you've got the capability. But yeah, anywhere on the beach, come check it out. And timing-wise, we're looking at about a 10:30 start, and it should go until about 4 o'clock. The Thunderbirds will be that last bit at 3 to 4.
The grand finale.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Outside of the air show, you are also the ops group deputy, so that means you are taking part of all the new stand-ups happening at Tyndall, including the 95th Fighter Group?
Squadron.
I was getting messed up. So what has that been like for you? I mean, we talked to Bandit about it, and he said it's been great, and he's had such a strong team, it kind of made it really easy. But as we're growing and we're getting more personnel for the 95th, like, how has that been?
Yeah, it's been awesome. It's really neat to see the mission come back to Tyndall, because, you know, post-hurricane, we were flying, but it was at another base. And it's really neat to finally see everything coming home, because in the 95th, couldn't pick a better squadron. You know, it's a historic squadron here at Tyndall Air Force Base, all the way back into World War II. And it's just been an incredible journey so far. New jets, new mission, new facilities, everything is just coming along. And, you know, this is the future of Tyndall, and we're getting really just the first taste of it, which is neat. I mean, eventually we're going to have 78 of those jets on the ramp. So, you know, stand by for this place being like it was not too long ago, with a heck of a big mission and a lot going on.
That's fantastic. And we've talked about, like, the influx in personnel. It's not just the flight line that's bringing the personnel. We're also growing on our side of base, the
support side.
Mm-hmm. And we're just bracing for impact. Like, we're almost done with lodging. That'll be awesome, especially for all the exercises you guys host.
Oh, yes.
Right now, I heard, I don't know if this is accurate, this WESUP is the first that the 95th has actually participated in.
That is correct, yeah. They were lucky enough to just be around and able to join up and shooting some missiles. I think they got one more. They shot two yesterday, one more to shoot today, and I think a couple more, and it's been a knockout so far.
That's awesome. And when you're shooting missiles, I think we need to clarify to our listeners, where are you guys shooting these? I know there's targets in specific locations, but most of it happens over the water, or
it does
ground?
Pretty exclusively over the water. Okay. So the nice part about the water is it's pretty easy to clear. It's easy to get things out of the way. As long as there's no boats and other stuff, then there's very, very low risk of anything happening, because we're going to shoot missiles or shoot gun. Things are eventually going to wind up making their way down to the water. So we do it all over the water. Target-wise, they do shoot live guns at these banner systems. They pull behind a jet. So they'll have one airplane pulling it, and everybody shoots at this thing behind it, which is pretty cool. Had to cancel that the other morning for weather, but they're going to reschedule it for us. The missiles themselves, they shoot at a series of different drones. So nobody's ever in the jet. That's a good thing. But we've got the QF-16s, which they fly with pilots or without, and they'll shoot against those as well as other drones of various sizes. And that's pretty much it. And every time they're collecting data on the missiles, on the jet, and just making sure, does everything work the way that it's supposed to? Do we understand, you know, when we employ these weapons, they'll do what we expect them to do?
Gotcha. Who was it that we were talking to, and he told us about the banner hanging out the back, and we were like, that guy, that pilot, that's a brave soul. You know what I mean?
Little bit. Yeah, guys are pointing at you with guns with full bullets, and you know, you got to hope they're aiming at not you and the banner.
Exactly. We interviewed back in Checkered Flag when we had the big media project, a pilot from, was he Seymour Johnson?
I think so.
He was an F-16 pilot. And he told us the story about how he got his call sign. And he said that he accidentally shot a moving vehicle, like, not the target.
Oh, no.
So it's like, oh, my God, that's a possibility. That's crazy.
Yeah, we've got a lot of procedures to prevent stuff, but things happen sometimes. So,
yeah.
And we rarely get names for the things that we do well. It's usually the silly stuff or the wrong target or something to that effect.
And your call sign is Gate.
It is.
I would love to know the story, but I know they're super hush-hush sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
Bandit told us his.
Nice. But. Yeah, mine, it means a few things. Like, partly Gate is a brevity term for going to full afterburner, because I may or may not have flown an Eagle higher than I was supposed to. Usually we don't go above 50,000 feet, but it was a cold day in Alaska, and I didn't really notice until more like 60,000 feet.
Oh, my
God. The jet was climbing like a rocket, so that's part of it. But on a similar sortie at a red flag Alaska, like we talked about, we don't usually get named for things we do well.
Yeah.
I had the jet kind of freak out. My central computer kind of stopped functioning. I couldn't see where I was, had no maps, had a lot of data. And in that process, lost track of my flight lead, and then spent about the next hour roaming around the airspace trying to get my systems on board and being completely useless. So it does stand for goes against tactical expectations.
I love these stories. I wish everyone would share them, but I know some of them are terrible, so I get it. But everybody lives and learns, right?
Yep.
So yeah, that's fun. Last question for me. Are you the only Thunderbird in your family?
Yes. So I'm the only one that's done that. So that's a plus. You know, I've got family that's flown a lot of jets and chief of staff of the Air Force, for goodness sake. So,
yep,
only Thunderbird, though.
I mean, that.
Though they've all interacted with the team on a zillion occasions, but,
you have bragging rights, I think.
Yeah, I've got that one going.
Yeah. I don't know. Your uncle might beat you, but.
Yeah, he's a little cooler.
All right, Colonel Goldfein, thank you so much for partaking in our podcast. We really appreciate it. And we, again, as a reminder, he is hyping up our air show today, which will be May 4th and 5th. So please come out and join us. If you have any questions or want updated information, you can check it all out on our Facebook, Instagram, or right here on our podcast. We will keep you updated. So, Colonel Goldfein, thank you so much for stopping by.
Yeah, thank you for having me.